But in a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
To another edition of the Chicago Way, John Cass, mild-mannered columnist, cowboy, and my buddy Jeff Carlin, executive producer of the Rokan Show, and also a panicky Cubs fan.
That's me. Yep.
You were panicky. And with us, Scott Stanis, the star cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune and star of a recent documentary, which I recommend most highly, since I had to pay for it in blood.
Yeah, we both kind of did.
We both did.
The Madigan documentary, I finally got, they sent me a link, watched it. I think it is really very, very good. They got everything right.
Yeah, they did. And I thought it was good. And the best part about it was they probably cut all my more obnoxious stuff.
Me too.
After the controversy, put it on the cutting room floor, and left like three segments of about 20 seconds duration of a fat guy who is now off carbs completely.
Are you really?
100%.
How did you do that?
I got some allopurinol, which will counter the gout that will come to me, and I'm just eating meat and vegetables.
Wow.
That's it. No more carbs.
I can't. I'm married to an Italian. There's just no carbs. How do you do that? No bread? No
carbs? Okay, my no carbs thing lasted about 20 seconds because I come home and I'm like, what's for dinner? And she says, pasta barese, which is Italian sausage, penne and rapini.
So you really had to, did you awesome. Pick through it or did you actually just dive in?
I kind of dived in. But in my mind, I'm off carbs.
And, you know, if in this democratic state, that's all that matters is the intentions, not your actions.
There's so much to talk about, Scott and Jeff. First of all, Hillary Clinton is singing happy birthday to herself.
Wouldn't you?
Well, she had a head injury. She forgets things.
What is with singing happy birthday to me by myself and putting it out on the YouTube, Twitter sphere, whatever? Is that not pathetic?
It's weird.
It's strange.
So when is she going to offer us the dish of Turkish delights like Janus, played aptly by Tilda Swinton in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Not that I'm saying, who is what.
No, you already did. It's out of the bag.
The White Witch. Come on.
John, your knowledge of children's mythical films is impressive.
I'm a good dad.
I know.
You're a very good dad. You have
and now
boys.
In terms of my boys are now 21, so I stopped letting them read economic mythology because you cannot have free health care that you can keep your doctor if you want your doctor. All that stuff apparently is a myth too because President Obama, premiums are up in Illinois 43%.
Yeah, 25% is the lowest that they will go up around the nation. You're talking about insurance companies diving out of the exchange in droves, and that also means that the choices involved that, instead of it would have been nice if they'd bothered to, read the damn thing before they passed it. Two, it would have been nice if you had economists who knew what the hell they were talking about.
Obamacare is imploding.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be... My kids.
How does Hillary run, Scott? How do you run as a Democrat saying, and by the way, all that cool stuff we promised you, you're paying 43% more so that the voters we just bought can vote for us. Isn't that what the deal is?
How do you run? This is the third term for Obama. Now, Barack Obama seems like a nice fella. You know him personally, I guess, don't you? Kind of, sort of?
Yes, I do.
I mean, he seems like a
media
nice enough guy.
Critics notwithstanding, yeah.
I mean, he's a mediocre at best president. Look what he's leaving behind. Obamacare is in ruins. The economy is the most anemic growth in the history of the country.
1%
at
best.
Think about that. GDP at 1-2%. It has gone up marginally. But that's economics. Number three, okay, well, let's look at where Hillary and Obama colluded to create a foreign policy that has left the world in ruins. The ascent of ISIS, Libya is now a base, that's expanded throughout that region. Our allies don't respect us, and our enemies don't fear us. I mean, when Putin can pretty much, right now he's poking the sword at the Baltic states. who are members of NATO. That's how emboldened this guy is.
Jeff Carlin, what say you, sir?
I think it's unfair to say he's one of the worst. I mean, the Cubs are in the World Series, and he's from Chicago.
I digress for just a moment. Yeah. This city owes me, Scott Standis, so much. And I'll tell you why. I move here in 2009. What happens? John, what happens?
You outside the Tribune in a suspect jersey. And I say, what? You can't be a fan of the Padres here, babe.
No.
You got to go Sox or Cubs. You went Cubs.
Went Cubs.
Therefore, you give Rahm Emanuel equal credit because he's mayor and the Cubs are in, right?
But he wasn't mayor then.
The Cubs are in now. Jeff's just nodding.
I'm telling you.
Where are you, Jeff? What planet?
Yeah, he's in his happy place.
My phone's ringing, and I've got to produce.
Here's
so.
What you do. You take that phone, and you throw it out the window, because the podcast is king in your mind right now, sir. All right?
Just missed that call. I don't even know who it was.
If there's one thing we do to prepare for the elections, we watch two movies I wrote about them this week. Ridicule, about the elites at Versailles, mocking the people and not knowing that the guillotine was about to fall on them. And the second, Idiocracy. Mike Judge, the most brilliant movie I've ever seen. Yay or nay on Idiocracy?
Idiocracy, by far, one of the best representations of what we are heading towards.
Heading? We're there, brother.
We can still get water out of the water fountain. So
the
I'm
president
okay.
of the United States is a reality show, reality show porn star / professional wrestler. who's that sound like?
It sounds like none of the presidential candidates or president that we have has to be. But I will say that Idiocracy has to be seen. Think of this this way. Not that this already happened. Not that Idiocracy has taken place. But I can vote for Mike Madigan or Mike Madigan's people running for state rep. And think, if I vote for a Democrat running for state rep, I can convince myself that that's not really a vote for Mike Madigan to remain the boss, can I? Is that Idiocracy?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes, it is.
Me know this name, punch thing, vote, go, get job at Sands and Rec. Yes, of course. You keep saying this hasn't happened. This can't. It's happening now. It has happened. Mike Madigan will hold on to his supermajority here in the state of Illinois. I'm pretty convinced of this. I know that there are other factors and much more money going against it. I think it's a bulwark, and I don't know that that's going to happen. One of the things that's hurting it, the Republicans, is the top of the ticket. Democratic Party.
Here's the thing about that. The Democratic Party's trying to tie Trump to
Rounder to Trump.
Rounder to Trump. That's a bald-faced, tiny lie, a big lie.
No, it's a huge lie.
I wanted
lie.
To go into a metaphor that would have some sexual thing, but then I got scared and backed off. Okay? But it's really a bald-faced
lie. Why are you scared of sex, John?
Because I'm a heterosexual married man, I might be in the minority.
Dying
and I
breed.
Have to be very clear about what I say so that no one will spank me. Right? Because we're all afraid.
John, if you're looking at me while I'm drinking water, can you not say someone will spank me ever again?
But isn't that
drowned.
The truth? If you go with Hillary, not that I've gone with anybody because it's not my job to endorse, but if you go with Hillary and all her nonsense and that we've got to clean this up and the WikiLeaks and she wants the money and the king of Bahrain's got $12 million, you want it? If you don't go with her, then you are suspect in certain professions. You shall be mocked and ridiculed.
Oh, yes.
No?
Well, try to be a libertarian. I mean,
I was going to go for that guy, except when he stuck his tongue out in the interview, and then I thought he was stoned, which wouldn't be bad to have a stoned president, really, because then they won't do anything. Because that's what I don't want them to do stuff. I don't want government to do stuff. I want them to stop doing stuff.
Right, because when they start doing stuff, we get Obamacare. Gary Johnson, I've already voted, okay, and I voted for.
I can say,
what's that?
What's with the early voting?
Is it
so easy? The Democrats make it so easy to vote. Why don't you just roll out of bed, brush your teeth, have your morning, what is that word, illuminations or something, and then just vote? Or maybe during that time you could vote, right?
You should have an app.
Shouldn't it be difficult to vote?
No.
Why?
Why should it be difficult?
How about this?
Right
a basic literacy test. How's this? Have you ever watched reality TV.
John, your huddled masses.
What?
Your huddled masses. I mean, we're talking about...
My huddled masses that are really a rule of the mob rather than a republic.
The masses are asses.
A republic is what the Greeks, okay, my guys, had democracy. So 51%.
And how did that work?
And it didn't work well because who came in? Alexander the Great. And you know what happened to Thebes? I can't even tell you. It was terrible. And
if you had an app, you could have that before you get to the voting. You could like have a drawing. It says, what is this? And it's like a circle. And you have to punch the right answer.
Well, it's like they have the apps now where it's like, so you don't drunk text somebody, you know, you put it on your phone and it says, it pops up, you're about to send like a sexual text or a mean text, and it has you answer a couple of questions first to make sure you're kind of cognizant and you're not completely
That's
blasted.
A great idea.
Just have that.
No drunken texting?
You have to name.
No drunken, what would I do?
No drunken voting.
At night. What would I do at night? I noticed that at night on Facebook when I've had like my glass of Pernod or whatever.
That's what we have. Yes, he's making fun of me.
That I tend to give the mutza, put the mutza picture on everybody.
You're very liberal with it.
Everybody.
That's the only time John Katz is liberal.
That's about right. But we're not
he's liberal
done
with
the question about voting here, sir, Mr. Bernie, you know.
Oh,
leaner.
Come on,
Mr. Left.
If anything, come on, Jill Stein.
Why make it easy on people who have no business? They don't know who's on the Supreme Court. They don't know where Libya is. They don't know any of this. How should they vote? Shouldn't we have a test? I'm just asking. I'm not endorsing because I'm not in the endorsing business. But why not? Shouldn't we have informed? What if we're all putting, what if we all put Gatorade on our crops because they have electrolytes?
It's what plants crave.
It's what plants crave. Right?
I can quote the
movie. That's it, yeah. Is that where you want to go? Or do you want to have some, how about a mahogany table? Up at a mountain chalet, maybe in Switzerland, where like 15 guys who dress very conservatively but casually, kind of like a Walter Pigeon look, like a mountaineer, but with Harris tweeds and so forth. And they drink sherry and decide what should be. Isn't that better? They know better.
I don't think so.
Because that's what they do now.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the economy, stupid. That's what they're doing.
Well, you hand a few million to the Clintons. I mean, you have to do that. So there is an entry fee to the club.
Will our country be ruled by a majority of people who think that what happens below the belt if you're a Republican is important, but not if you're a Democrat? Is that what we're going to get to? Is that
we're there? Why do you keep saying get to? We're there. We've arrived.
So what country?
We're docked.
Where am I
getting
going?
Off the boat?
New Zealand.
Idaho, New Zealand, or Finland, right?
New Zealand.
How about Latvia? Because I like the sound.
Latvia has very nice, if you like motorcycle racing, that's very big there.
Latvia also has Estonia has some of the best internet on the planet.
Yeah.
How about Romania, which is one of the few.
Have you ever been to Budapest?
I heard
amazing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I would always want to see Transylvania because it's kind
of. I'm thinking of the south of France. Because, I mean, if you're going
south of France is where the where ridicule begins.
Is that right?
The young nobleman, impoverished nobleman in the south of France, his people are dying from malaria because of the swamps, right? And he wants to drain the swamps and save the people. So he goes to Versailles to make his case to the king. And he offers all this his plans. He's an engineer. This is the age of enlightenment. Everyone's like, shut up. Who cares? Poor people. Irredeemables. Deplorables.
Basket of deplorables.
The basket of deplorables. Take them and go. And then he decides what happens is they tell him, if you're a witty son of a beep and you're smarter and wittier and more cutting than anyone else, you will rise in court. And that's what happened.
Didn't help me.
This is not Versailles. No. Versailles, the Versailles you're thinking about is Washington, D.C. and the Beltway, where people focus in our business 98% on sex and 2% on WikiLeaks. Yes.
Why,
or no?
We're human, absolutely. We're driven by sex. I mean, come on.
Why is that? Well, I mean, the recent poll showed that 7% are conservative. So that's the
political. Because the media is liberal. Okay, let's just admit it.
Have you ever seen an election, especially the national one,
well, let's leave that alone.
Where it has? No, I mean, this dovetails mm-hmm. into that. I've never seen, and I have never been, I've been in this business almost 40 years, almost the same amount as you. I've never seen a media.
Not 40 years, but go on.
What's that?
I'm a whippersnapper at 30. Go on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I sold my first cartoon in 1978. Jimmy Carter was president. Gas was a nickel, and the hurly-gurly was the dance de jour sweeping the nation.
I think I voted for him.
Did you really? No, you're not that old. No, you can't be. We're the same age, roughly. So, no.
I think I voted for him.
All right. Anyway.
It's a Chicago thing. I can vote.
I've never seen the press
if you're
this in favor. They are convinced to their marrow that Donald Trump will be the end of the republic if he's elected, and are doing
It's actually the reverse. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump is personally a buffoon, and if you're going to talk about personalities and sex, then you know which way you want to go. If you're talking about someone who will decimate, and by decimate I mean literally take one out of every ten amendments to the Constitution, right? So 2.5, whatever the ratio is, she'll take those out. She will decimate the republic.
Why didn't say this is the facts?
She will consolidate the state. She will be running around saying, "The state is me. I am the state."
I didn't say that's not what's going to happen. I'm saying the perception by the media right now, and how they're covering this story is exactly what you're saying. WikiLeaks, these are far more damning than, you know, and I have to admit, I'm a grown gentleman, as are you, and the comments by Donald Trump about women is to me egregious. But does it rise to the point of criminality? I don't think so.
It doesn't rise to the point of criminality because the left and the women's groups like Eleanor Smeal and all the rest have told us that sexual predation in the White House, actual, real, provable, convictable sexual predation in the White House is okay if your politics are all right.
Right, as long as you're for abortion on demand and subsidized daycare.
We will soothe your every needs, Mr. Clinton. Yes, that's their logic. So if you step, that's the baseline. This thing is just allegations and bad behavior and stupid talk, and maybe he is a boor. He is a boor, of course. He's a vulgarian. I haven't seen any case brought against him with evidence. I've seen a conflation, and I'm still not approving of it at all. It's terrible, reprehensible. It's sickening. But look at this. The moment whoever comes in the president, the interest rates will begin to rise. The 12 men in the mountain chateau on the mahogany table, or the Fed, whichever one you prefer, will raise the interest rate.
Oh, yeah.
An economy at 1% with interest rates going up and a president in Clinton who vows to increase taxes, that is historically dangerous. Follow my advice and watch Ridicule.
Okay.
You will see exactly what is going on. And you will look at these courtiers and wits with their dismissive attitudes towards people, towards anyone that they believe is lower than them. And you will see Madame Guillotine getting sharpened up.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
I can't explain glacial motion while Los Angeles don't drop into the ocean. I can't unfold the layers of mystery or piece together the tragedy of history, 'cause those lucky suckers, they don't have to work. Big 3D billboards and big 30-foot smirks. And everybody wants to be naked and famous. Everybody wants to be just like me, I'm naked. And said she didn't like the smell of it. and then took her clothes off in a restaurant for the hell of it. I met a DJ who lived in seclusion. Reality and sobriety were her only delusions. And those lucky bastards, they didn't have to work. Big 3D billboards and big 30-foot smurfs.
We come to the point in the show now where two very important things are happening. Baseball in Chicago and a presidential election. I can't think of any better Sox fan to have to talk about this than the former Secretary of Commerce, former Chief of Staff to Barack Obama, Chicago's Bill Daley.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
People wouldn't know this if they read my column or heard wild screams from 30 blocks away. But you and I have talked pretty regularly for how many, many years, right?
30 plus years, 30 probably. Years. Yep. And I probably regret it, but
I've always found you to be the reasonable voice in that thing.
Well, it's, we learned from our father that life is a marathon, and in the political / public business, things change, and you ought to deal with people and be straight up. Doesn't mean you agree with them. Doesn't mean that you like what they do, but engagement is the key to it. And too many people today turn off and get in their silos and don't deal with other people that they may not agree with. That's a problem.
Well, one thing I think I do agree with you on is that what your grandmother taught you, which is never leave a baseball game before the last pitch of the ninth inning if it's a Sox game. So how do you make the Cubs fan panic? Right now they're down one.
Well, look, they've got an incredibly well-balanced team, managed well. My sense is they lost the first game of the Dodgers, and some people wanted to panic. This is, looks like a team that doesn't panic. The talent usually wins. They have a hell. But I tell you, I do worry for their sake that Francona is taking nothing away from Madden, but Francona is one awfully tough, good manager.
And?
And so I think it's going to be a tough, long series. If I had to bet, it's going to go at least six, maybe seven games.
Win or lose, do the Cubs fans get all this stuff off their back now, or do they have to win this
thing? No. No, they have to win it for many years. They got a lot of making up to do. Okay, let's be honest here. You got 100 years, and they're going to be satisfied. They're going to get a taste of what we Sox fans got for 1 year, which was pretty depressing.
And we thought we'd be in it the next year, too, right? With the four complete World Series games. Right.
But it just all fell apart rather quickly, and it's rather sad. But looking at this team and the youth and the fact that they've got them in long-term contracts, some of these kids, they got a heck of a thing that's been done by the Rickett family, by Theo Epstein, by Madden, in putting together a young team that can compete for many years until they either all get full of themselves or all want multi-million, billion-dollar contracts.
Is it hard? Okay. Is it hard? I mean, what are we supposed to do? I've said, go Cubs, good luck, because my brothers are Cubs fans. I've said that. But in the back of my mind, I don't know. There's still a thing.
Are there
fewer and fewer of us who understand that thing?
Yeah, because fewer and fewer people who grew up when there really was a split, when it was north side, south side, the working stiff versus the arrogant north siders who, blah, blah, blah. Even when they had a terrible team, they seemed to be full of themselves and about the team. And when, they still feel the park when they played terribly.
And Sox have a hard
time.
Go.
Yeah, our people don't go, and they have a hard time filling the park even when the team's playing well. So that rub, but it's diminished a lot. You've had a lot of intermarriages between Cubs and Sox fans, and diminishes that old time sort of rivalry.
Also, now speaking of people who aren't panicking. Are the Democrats panicking or not? Are the Republicans, who's panicking now? In the last weeks, it's close. Very close, or it's a blowout. I don't know which way this is.
I find it hard to believe there's going to be a blowout in the presidential election. I think there may be a blowout on the electoral side, college side. But on a popular vote, this country's pretty well divided. This is a unique election for a lot of reasons. If there's any panic, I would seem it's on the Republican side, just because the hysteria seems to be that they've got a bigger problem at the top of their ticket, and too many people moving away, don't want to be part of it, taking themselves out of the Trump, you know, vision or sunlight. And so that they've got more issues than we have right now. Democrats have, because of the fact that they're, most of the polling shows this a difficult race for Trump to win, and there's always a down ballot effect.
Part of this is when we talked about you coming on, it was that you were going to offer a corrective. So I want you to offer a corrective as you see it.
Yep.
To a very important thing, the divided country. I've said that or written that in 2000, there was an election that people may have forgotten.
Yeah.
And there was a candidate on the Democratic side who I thought was collapsing on election night. And there was a guy named Bill Daley who took a 2x4 and lashed it to Al Gore's back and made a spine out of it and said, "We're not, you're not giving up. We're going to fight this thing." Is that what really?
No, that's not exactly. That's not happened at all, to be very frank with you.
Well, I want to know.
Okay. I was one of the people who suggested that he call Bush and concede. Because the fact is, at that point, in Florida,
right.
You know, we were 50,000 plus votes down in Florida. All the networks had called it for Bush. And, you know, the good of the country, you move forward. Now, we knew during the day that there was a problem in Palm Beach with the ballots and that lots of people were confused that whether they were voting for Pat Buchanan or Al Gore. And there weren't a lot of Buchananites, even though he got multiple thousand, or not a lot of Pat Buchanan voters in Palm Beach, but yet he got a lot of votes. So we knew there was a confusion in Palm Beach, a real confusion during the day. And if you remember, the networks originally called Florida for Gore, and then they took it back. And they called it originally because they took exit polling and some real data, albeit small, combined the two and said Gore will win. Because most people who came out in an exit polls said they voted for Gore, even though they found out later, many of them, that they had voted for Pat Buchanan. So anyways, so when we conceded, when Gore called Bush and said, "You've won, blah, 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 we're going to go up," I got a call from Don Evans, who was my counterpart with Bush, a couple of minutes later, and he said, "When are you guys going up to concede?" And I said, "Well, we're getting a motorcade together. His family's getting together." And I thought, that's an odd call. So I get in the car, the motorcade, right. And I get a call saying that it's now down under 10,000 vote plurality. And in Florida, there was an automatic recount, not statewide, but in counties, that the Secretary of State had to do if it went below a certain percent. So we were then in a panic. So he stopped Gore from going out, sent him back. I said to him, you can't go out. There's too much confusion. You got to call Bush, all this stuff. So I said, somebody has to go out and talk to the crowd. This is 2:30 in the morning. And you can't, so who do you want to go out? He said, you. I said, I'm not going to go out there. I said, it's pouring rain. And right. So he said, no, you go out. So I had to go out at 2:30 in the morning. And so that began the recount for five
minutes. So you established the parameters right there,
yep.
Right? That he can't concede because the...
First of all, there's an automatic recount in Florida or a review by right. The Secretary of State. Her official website said it was under 10,000 votes and it's shrinking fast, the plurality. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what... We were in uncharted waters, totally uncharted waters. Mm-hmm. Now, we knew nationally he was way up. He won the election popular vote by over 500,000 votes. And
he lost the Supreme Court election, though, didn't he?
Well, you know, I believed we had a meeting once and they had all these Supreme Court experts saying, I think Rehnquist will never do this. He'll never divide the court. This is terrible. If we go down in history, it'll change the whole complexion. They came to me and they said, "Well, Elsa, what do you think?" I said, "They got four. We got three. I think we lose." It's kind of simple.
That is the Chicago
and that's exactly
way of thinking. But that's
what
the
happened.
Truth.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
Yeah, right. They were, you know, they're not non-political animals. Now, it did end it. Gore went out with an gracious concession speech, and from that moment on was extremely supportive, not that it mattered to President Bush at the time, to that administration to give them the credibility to move forward. And
others were not.
Not many. I mean, the Black Caucus said they wouldn't do anything, and right. Yeah, Congressman Jackson at the time said something. But overall, Democrats accepted it, and we moved on, and the nation moved on. There wasn't... the animus that some people now want to say there was post-that.
There wasn't.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Do you think that going forward in a couple weeks,
yeah.
whoever wins will have that same?
No, I think the country's much more divided, much nastier to each other. We don't want to accept the logic or the facts from people. I got my own facts. Don't confuse me. I made up my mind. I know the facts. So, you know, and in this new world of social media and sort of the belief there's black helicopters out there all over and everybody's conspiring to do evil things to each other.
What about Chicago now? I know that the Daley family is a very proud family. And to hear some of the stuff coming out of the mayor's mouth where he talks about sins of the past without mentioning names, I got to figure that does that irk you guys or not?
Yeah, sure it does. Because not just, you know, what may be said around the mayor or, you know, the belief that, okay, Rich was there 22 years. In my opinion, taking a step back, and I know it's easy to beat up, and everybody who takes an office kind of beats up the last guy directly or indirectly or says, you know, I'm really going to do it differently and clean it up. But when you look at the 22 years of Rich Daley and the change in this city in all sorts of ways, when he took over, it was Beirut on the lake. You remember that? It was ridiculous. You had a school system that had been defined as the worst in America, failing by the former Secretary of Education. Ended up taking that over. You had physically the near south neighborhood that was created, near west neighborhood that was created, the changes in the investments in neighborhoods with schools and parks and all of that. Yeah. Did he do everything perfectly? Absolutely not, of course. And over the tenure of 22 years, you've got to balance what worked, what didn't. And now you look back and it's easy to say he didn't solve the pension problem. And really, when you take a look at the city's fiscal problems or the state's fiscal problems, it is the pension issue. If you put that aside, kind of like,
and we'll be
other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? If you put the pensions aside, the city and the state are in pretty good shape. But the pension problem, nobody has wanted to really deal with or has found a solution to deal with it. The legislature thought they did. Supreme Court came along and said, sorry, you can't do that. It's either negotiated. And why would a labor union want to negotiate away benefits they've got if the court is saying, you know, there's no other alternative to do here other than maybe a Supreme Court change. A constitutional change. So they're in a dilemma. There's no question about it. And it is a growing problem that at some point better be dealt with. And not, it can't just be dealt with through revenue increase.
As I've told you in person, I should tell them, and I think I've written it, so I should tell the listeners. When Rahm came in, right, I had lunch with him, and I said, he said, well, what do you think? I go, you got to lay this stuff off on Rich, or you're going to eat everything. And he says, no, he wouldn't say the name, right? Then it became a joke that he wouldn't say the name. And then came the little digs here and there. What's the relationship now? Because if Rahm Emanuel, I can't believe, could have been mayor unless, you know, the whole setup with the Charlie Rose show, and he says, maybe I'd like to be mayor someday.
Well, that surprised me, and I'm pretty close.
And then Bill Daley, and then Bill Daley goes to Washington, he comes here.
Yeah, but let me. I know. Again, that's kind of this grand conspiracy of putting this thing together. I was surprised as anyone. I was sitting in a hotel room in New York when I was watching Charlie Rose, and he was on, and he said, "You know, my dream in life has been wanting to be mayor of Chicago." And I was like, "Really?" Now, it didn't take a genius to figure out that at some point, Rich Daley, either through some intervention of God or his own, was not going to be there forever.
Right.
Okay, as happened with my dad. So you know, maybe he was betting on the fact that. Some odds were that he would not get it. When Rich announced he wasn't going to run, and then Rahm announced a couple of weeks later, whatever, he's leaving the White House, we never had a conversation about being chief of staff.
So
ever.
What's the relationship now?
You know, it's fine. I don't have a problem with Rahm. I mean, I may have a problem in some things, how he runs the city or decisions he's made, but it's a tough job. I saw it for 22 years with Rich and 21 years with my dad.
I'm referencing the Podesta WikiLeaks thing, which I did not tell Vladimir Putin to leak these out before you were on the show. Okay,
oh, good.
But now that they're out, I got to ask you. Okay, so you say to John Podesta, another Chicago guy, you say something like, "I'm enjoying it."
I didn't say.
Oh, what do you say? How are you doing, Daley, as the chief of staff? Breeze, and how along with the breeze? How about you? Daley, apparently also at ease, replied later from his iPad, okay, watching Rahm twist.
And he was. I mean, he was in the runoff, first runoff ever, against Chuy Garcia. and who at that point wasn't a household name by any stretch and didn't have the resources.
And almost won.
And almost won. So twisting, I thought, is a pretty mild description of the difficulty he was going through in that campaign. So, yeah, he was twisting. Some could say he was on a spigot that was being turned by voters. But he survived, won it, and has moved on to it.
What's the future now for Chicago and Illinois in your mind? Can he run for I don't see him running for re-election. He's acting like he's going to run. I might talk to him soon about it, but he's acting like he's going to run. Because otherwise, if he acts as if he's going to leave, they'll take the skin off his bones. So,
knowing Rahm, my guess is, and I saw it with Rich. You know, it's easier to run again than not run again. And when people would ask me, even in Rich's last term, do you think he'll run again? I'd say, I don't know, but the odds are he will because he's done it five times already. So what the hell? Why not a sixth time?
What do you mean that it's easier to run again than not run again?
To make a decision, if this is what you've been doing for umpteen years, it's easier to keep doing what you're doing than make a break and do something really different. That's in my opinion, that's human nature. You know, we say we like change, but we really don't like change. And so to do what you're comfortable with, you're confident you could do because you've won it twice, taking Mayor Emanuel, Rich five times. So the sixth time is easier to do again.
So the third time for Rahm, easier?
I would think the decision to run again for him, I'm not talking about a campaign and winning, but the decision personally to do it again is easier for a person than saying, I'm going to walk away from this and do, I don't know, something else.
Investment what banking with Rauner.
What?
Right? Come on. Made him $16 million.
I don't know if I don't think Rauner made him $16 million. I think he may have bought him a bottle of wine that was pretty expensive. But
do not sabotage me. If you want to be a lightweight, then that's your call. But do not sabotage me.
Oh, aye, Captain, you got it.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
Oh, no, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any f***ing Merlot.
Okay, relax, Miles. Jesus, no Merlot.
Now hearken, John Citizen. Where will you mark your cross? For on that great election day, you will be the boss. If they have got your name and house on that old voter's roll, you will have it in your hand. Bottom of the poll.
What about you? Because when last we talked, I think on one of these shows, you were possibly a candidate for governor.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. The governor is currently in locked with this fight with Madigan. How do you see it?
It's pretty depressing right now, the state of our politics. You can say it nationally. I think the governor, just take this election that's going on right now. Probably the governor and the speaker and their allies will spend $70 to $80 million on what may change one legislative seat in a comptroller's race, which there are probably five people in the state who could tell you what the comptroller does anyways and ought to be done away with. So it's this battle. And you kind of want to step back and say, what's this all for anyways? And it's become very personal. The governor decided early on, man, personal. You call a guy corrupt and then you say, I want to sit down and make a deal with you. I mean, that's pretty hard to pull off. And when you so this is kind of snowballed downhill. And yet we got a lot of problems. And, you know, we still don't have a budget after 2 years. And assume for the moment that everything Speaker Madigan says is right. And assume that everything Rauner says is right. So what? Okay, now what? So everybody can stay and justify their position and be strong. But that doesn't get anything done. And I know compromise is a dirty word and everybody's got to, you know, wait till you can beat the hell out of the other guy and then pound him into the ground and claim total victory, but that doesn't happen in our society. That's not how things move forward. It's incremental. Some people want total change. The system isn't created to do that. You want that? Go to Russia, go to China. A leader changes, he or she, he mostly, can change lots of things. We don't have that system here in the country.
Well, we've got a guy who's the Speaker of the House, though, who controls, who elects the Supreme Court, who elects the legislature. In a way, there's sort of, you can make the argument, I've called him the Khan of Madaganistan, but for a joke, not that he's not the, one of the smartest political right. people and hardest working and most disciplined political people I've ever seen. I don't want to take that away from him, but the incredible power that he has running in a district that's like, you can't get him out of there unless you go statewide. You can't. You have to run a statewide election against his state reps to get him out of there. It's an incredible power.
Okay, but yet, I mean, take a step back. He is not elected statewide. He's elected in a district, but he's got umpteen other members that are Democrats. But okay, but he doesn't have the power to get anything done either yet. I mean, so okay, he's got control. Right. He's got a majority, supermajority right now.
And he's got his daughter in the
But she runs on her own. She kind of was viewed as pretty much independent and wins rather large in a very different electorate than he gets. Her support is not just limited to Democrats. She does awfully well with independents. But the Speaker can't do anything without the governor. So, okay, everybody's got their power and everybody's important. And so what?
What would you do? Because I still think you're not. I know that you're very successful in business. You're doing a lot of things. You have your family and everything.
Right.
But I still think that you have a feeling that there's something for you to offer. You've done it nationally and internationally to your state.
I think it's pretty simple. It's not a simple solution. But, you know, to make a compromise, you have to be willing to offend your friends, not your enemies. You can't make peace with your friends. You make peace with the people you've been fighting with. But this thing has gotten so nasty and so separated, and the problems are so big. Take the pension problem again. The solution to that is a very difficult solution for, forget the politicians, for the people who've retired. I mean, you saw it in this organization, in the private sector that's seen pension changes. You're impacting people that, you know, are not that. I think the average pension of a state employee is like $30,000 a year. These people aren't all making, you know, $1 million a year or something like that. Now there has to be changes, but this has gotten so bitter until people literally get in a room and say, we aren't going to leave. And the odds are none of us can win re-election. I remember sitting when I was toying with running for governor and sitting with a number of the labor leaders, and I said, look at that. I'm not for a tax increase until I have to be for a tax increase. And we all hold hands, get something done, and revenue and expense cuts and changes. And probably none of us could get re-elected to anything. You may not be getting re-elected as a labor leader. I may not get re-elected as governor. But so what if we try to solve that? Now, that's, you know, I'm at a stage in life, I'm a little older, somebody who's wanting to be in politics and be president, you know, next time and blah, blah, blah. That's a hard thing. But I don't think Rauner or the Speaker or most of the legislators expect to be president in the next couple of years. So, you know, just they'll find a way to maybe go on an island somewhere and work this thing out, because it's on a piece of paper, you could work it out. Painful, don't get me wrong. Tax increases, nobody likes them. Everybody screams. Expense cuts or changes to benefits to people. Many retirees are still getting 3% COLAs. There hasn't been inflation in, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years. And, you know, you're still getting 3% a year. That boosts your pension up pretty good. Now, hey, if I was on that pension, I'd want that 3% too. But there's lots of people who have to pay for that. And they're not real happy with that. It is a painful thing to implement the changes that have to. But without that, we're just going to sit around here and do the same thing. And as the definition of stupidity, I guess, is do the same thing over and over and think there'll be a different result.
Sir, I mean, we had you on with Ron Anna talking about the independent map amendment. And I know it failed, and it was a tough fight and a strong fight. What's your look back on it now? Now that it didn't happen, is there ever going to happen? Do you think
they had four? We had three.
Well, right. That comes down to the Al Gore thing. But do you think that the state will ever get to the point where that type of thing will be an independent process and there will be no partisanship there?
Well, it wasn't about taking the partisanship out of it, and the, you know, but I'm a Democrat. I don't want to see the legislature become Republican. And if you take California as an example, they did a commission. They did it right. Democrats retained control. You had more moderate people running because the districts are different and they had to worry about a general election. The problem right now in our system is you only worry about your 70% of the legislators today worry about their primary. They don't have a general election. And a general election is supposed to be where you reach out to a different crowd than just your base. And your base interest, and this gets back to trying to solve problems, your base, you know, threatens you. I don't care if it's the right or the left in a primary. And in a general election, you don't have to worry about anything. So you're beholden to a smaller group of people. If you take all the people who voted in the primaries for Trump and for Clinton, I think it's 9% of the American voters. That's it. So you're running to the right and you're running to the left, way left, for 9% of the electorate, of the voters, registered voters in America. That's crazy when you think about it.
How about this? There won't be a map change until Mike Madigan's out of politics.
No, I think if Rauner gets reelected, if Rauner gets reelected in 18, and you then have a remap in 20 with the new census, the governor vetoes. The thing is, the reason you got the map that some people believe is overwhelmingly Democratic, both congressionally and legislatively, is you had a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature, and therefore nothing went to the court. If you have a split in that in either any way, then that could be stymied, and end up in court probably in order to get a map. And that didn't happen last time, as has not happened when the Republicans controlled the legislature and they controlled the governor's office. They rammed through a map that was as partisan Republican-wise. And all we were trying to say with the commission is, let's try to step back, not saying it becomes nonpartisan, but that it isn't driven by a desire to get more Republican overwhelming number or an overwhelming number of Democrats and pick your districts based upon your legislator, not the legislators have to go out and run in a district that's about the people out there. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, politics is so nasty. Well, you know what the problem may be? It's more reflective of who we are than we want to admit. Those politicians should be better. And
all that Twitter.
The courses of society, the courses of our discussions, the movies, reality TV, how we treat people, you know, the Twitter world of the language that people use and the fact that we have the opinions about somebody else we don't agree with right off the bat before we have any facts. So forget facts. They don't mean anything anymore.
It's so tribal now.
Yeah.
That beyond what we even thought in 2000, beyond anything, I wonder how can either candidate, presuming it might be Clinton, but either way, how can she govern effectively after dismissing 40 million people as, you know, deplorables or whatever? Well, how do you govern after this kind of campaign?
Well, the problem is the campaign never ends. I mean, if you believe what the rumor is, if Mr. Trump loses, he starts a TV or radio thing, and there's an aggressiveness about that. It doesn't end. People don't come together and say, okay, now we got to do something. We got to get something done. The Republican House, and to some degree the Senate, they don't need to get anything done. This is the difference. If you're the president, you have to get something done. The Congress can sit there. None of those members have to get something done in order to win re-election generally. Okay? But the president needs something. Well, where you need to get that from Congress. So it's a given that the president has to go to the Congress. Okay, now, does he or she have to go on their knees and beg them, or do they go with some strength?
Or do they write executive orders and just bypass the Constitution altogether, like some people have done?
Yeah, but many of those executive orders have been declared unconstitutional by the court. And having been there at the White House and in two administrations, the power of the presidency in domestic issues has been taken away dramatically by Congress, both Democrat and Republican, over the years.
Isn't that the job of the Congress?
To take the power away?
To
balance it, yeah.
To balance, to say, we're not paying for it. I mean, they don't shut down the government.
Then how about do something then? Then you do something about immigration. Then you do it. And they say, no, we can't. We won't. Okay? So, okay, you go do something. But where presidents do have power, for good or bad, is in the foreign policy area. They can run and do things. When we did Libya, and I remember calling John Boehner and saying, we're going to send up a resolution for Congress to approve this. Don't send that up. I don't want anything to do with that. You don't have to do that. You got your own power. Don't send anything up
here. What, to take down Gaddafi?
Yeah, but no. How about this? To send men and women in harm's way. How about to drop a couple $1 billion of bombs on people? And no, don't worry about it. Don't come up here. Don't ask us for an opinion. I'm like, really?
But he didn't want to sell. Obviously, there were people in the government and on the Republican side who both understood, like McCain, Graham, who are total, let's say, adventurers. And there were responsible people on the Republican, Democratic side who realized we can't just decapitate Libya and not have some stability there.
Yeah, but that wasn't the reason he didn't want a resolution up. That may be reason not to go into Libya, and that's legitimate. But what we were faced with then, quite frankly, first of all, Gaddafi was on his way down no matter what we did. You could not prop up Gaddafi. Now, if you were going to turn your
I thought we
eyes,
did the opposite and just yank, we pulled the rug out from under.
Yeah, but
right?
Yeah, well, because we knew, and Gaddafi said, he was going to Benghazi to basically kill 200,000 people. It was a city of like 1.5 million, 2 million people, something like that. So you could have expected to see the slaughter you're seeing in Syria, in Libya. No question about it. Okay? If you're willing to say, you know what? That's just the way it is. Okay? The French, the British, NATO, it was a UN approver. China and Russia went along with it. They didn't veto it. Very hard. One of the very few military actions the UN ever approved in the last umpteen years. So there was a coalition and a belief that, first of all, Gaddafi was really a bad guy. Did we have missed faith in the sort of characters that were running around Libya and who would end up being in control? Truth is, Libya is a made-up country by the British, as much of the Middle East is. They aren't true countries. There's not
tribal.
It's tribal. There's three, basically, countries in a map called Libya. And, so I think our motives to do a very limited military action, and the president was intent on a limited military action. The French, the British, they wanted us to go much bigger. Many other countries wanted us to go bigger.
John McCain.
Wanted feet, boots
did.
On the ground.
Right, but politically, he wouldn't do it.
And the president would do it, and the Congress wouldn't even vote a resolution, and John Boehner said, don't send that resolution up here.
But the president wasn't going to carry boots on the ground either, politically.
No, absolutely.
Right?
But he said, I'm not going to put boots on the ground. We'll try to support and prevent the sort of slaughter that what we expected to happen, but we were not going to be there with 30,000, 10,000, 50,000, and then a whole support system costing billions of dollars.
I could sit here and talk to this man, and we really didn't talk about White Sox baseball.
Thank God.
For an hour or more. But I have to cut it because Jeff's in my ear.
Sorry, Jeff.
All right, Jeff? But William Daley, Sox fan, Chicagoan, Secretary of Commerce, Chief of Staff, and a guy who came to the Chicago way. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, John, for having me. Take care.
Everybody, Jeff Carlin, John Cass, for Scott Stannis, Bill Daley. You know what? Don't worry, Cub fans, okay? There's a lot of games to go.